Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformations. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Sean Douglas, speaker, master resilience trainer, and author. And do I have an amazing guest for you today? I'm so excited to have her with me. Welcome to the show. If this is your first time listening, this is a live broadcast. And so if you have a question or you just want to talk to Jamie, the number is 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. If something you hear on the show resonates with you, let us know. The show will be uploaded to iTunes and Stitcher in a couple days after the show has been uploaded to the system. And we are listened to in 15 countries. Thank you so much for those who are listening. 15 countries like U.S., Canada, U.K., Norway, Belgium, Switzerland, India, Thailand, Indonesia, Panama, New Zealand, Tanzania, France, Netherlands, Australia, and Germany. Welcome to the show. And today we are going to talk about the art of allowing with Jamie Lerner. Jamie, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm super pumped that you're here. I cannot wait to dive in because I've researched and learned about you, and I am so intrigued, and I got my pen and paper ready, and I'm going to take so many notes. So if you're ready to go, I'm ready to go. Are you ready?
I am ready. Thank you.
Let's do this. So Jamie Lerner is the co-author of the book, The Ever-Loving Essence of You, and she can put a fresh spin on just about anything that anyone throws her way. Her unique and masterful ability to reframe even the most difficult situations is astounding. All of a sudden, your biggest nightmare becomes your greatest pleasure as she lovingly helps you sift through the contrast and find that small opening of light that quickly becomes your greatest jumping-off point for clarity. Unassuming, reassuring, and seemingly without any sense of ego, Jamie Lerner is able to put everyone and everything at ease. She is an asset to any corporate setting. She is easily able to untangle the issues at hand and move right along into helping facilitate a solution-based platform for creative, productive, good-feeling collaboration and change. Jamie can most often be seen working with individuals, children, adults, and couples, as well as with small groups. She never positions herself as the expert of anything and is always reminding you that it is you who knows best for yourself always. And she hails from Chicago. So you sound, I mean, just reading that, I'm like, that's awesome. Like, you work with adults and children and like, tell me more. So you're an author and therapist, and like, tell me kind of what you do.
Well, I was trained as a psychotherapist, and I never quite felt right about asking people to continually look back at their past, especially because my sense was that people wanted to move forward. So I gave up my private practice and I traveled and I studied and I put together something called the Integrative Approach to Well-Being, which really assists people in assisting themselves from getting to where they are in their now to where they want to be. And it's a really
awesome,
loving, yeah, gentle, fun process. So that's what I've been doing.
Question, the main question that we always ask on the show has to be the why. I feel like it's so important to know why we're doing something, and is the most frequented question that you ever ask anybody. You ask a kid, why did you do that? You ask somebody, why did you hurt me? Or what? Because it's almost like we have to know. It's the unlocking that knowledge, right? So the first question I ask you is, why are you doing what you were doing today?
Okay. Well, I was born with a knowing, a true sense of who I came forth to become, and I believe we all are. And as we kind of like move about the world and sift through the contrast of life, I think that we lose that sense of knowing of who we are and why we're here. So I really like to help people reconnect with that knowing, because we do know for ourselves. We always know. Even if we don't know how or why we know, we know. So how can I help people close the gap between where they are and who they are? And I've always been fascinated by people in interpersonal relationships, and I've always felt intuitively that when we trust ourselves and we follow our intuitions, that we usually are correct. However, oftentimes we doubt ourselves because we're always looking outside of ourselves to see what the peanut gallery is going to say about us or to us, or what society is going to say about us or to us. So how can we redirect ourselves back to the most important relationship that we will ever have, and that is a relationship with ourselves? And I'm all about self-love, you know, because when we love ourselves, we love everybody. And when we love ourselves, we don't judge anyone else, and we're certainly not judging ourselves. So it's, you know, in some ways, it's really basic, because I believe this is really who we all are. We're, you know, loving, connected people, and we have moments of disconnection. So that's kind of the basis of, you know, what my beliefs about people. I believe that people are amazing and that we're limitless and that we can do and have everything and anything. And it's really just about believing in ourselves, trusting ourselves, and learning how to focus on ourselves instead of using the excuse of what's going on around us to focus on other people, which really have nothing to do with us.
No kidding. You said something so amazing, is that we're afraid of what the other peanut gallery people will say about us, and they judge us, and if we say we want to do something, someone always has a negative thing to say about it and a reason why it's not going to work, or the way that we think about ourselves, we're afraid that others don't see us that same way. And right? I mean, that is huge. People living in somebody else's reality of what other people think about them.
Right. And so I think that when we focus on ourselves and redirect ourselves back to ourselves, and we've become really clear. And how do we become clear? Because we've had all this contrast. So what is contrast? It's everything that we haven't wanted in the past or even in our now. So the contrast gives us this new sense of clarity of what we do want. And when we're able to focus on what we do want and we're so clear, we tend not to care what other people are doing or saying or thinking about what we're doing. So it's an interesting process. How do we get clear about who we are and what we're wanting for ourselves? That's a great big question.
I know for me that was huge. I never felt like I had a purpose in life. I was just kind of floundering. I never really put much thought into it. I'm like, well, I'll just live day to day and, you know, see what the day comes. And as long as I'm having fun, you know, I never really put much thought into it until I went through my own tragedy. So the next question I would ask you is how did this manifest for you? How did you decide that this is what I'm going to do? What was that journey like?
Well, I think that, you know, in the helping professional, we have a choice. We can preach or we can walk our talk, and we can become the living, breathing example of what's possible. And I see a lot of people out there searching outside of themselves, all these self-help books, you know, encouraging people to look outside of themselves for the answer. There is nothing out there, nothing. It's all within. And I've always known that about myself. It's been so clear to me that I know my own way. Maybe I have moments where I get lost, but I always know how to find myself, redirect myself, and trust myself. And so I thought, wow, this is such a great message for people, you know, because we have this within ourselves, every single person. Moments of disconnection are just moments. You know, our current situation is not our life. It's just a moment in our life. So it was really fun for me to start working with people in a new way and giving them a sense of self-empowerment, you know, relearning to trust themselves, because we come into this world trusting ourselves, and really helping people tap into just this endless amount of, you know, inner resource that they have within themselves. And it's so exciting when people do it.
Yeah. Wow. I got nothing. Wow. Like, you just nailed it. Like, I want people to really understand what you just said there, because I'm sitting here with my mouth open, like, oh my God. It's almost like a moment of clarity for me. I'm like, holy crap. Sometimes you hear things that you just, like, because we read things online and we read books and we read, you know, whatever, and then you hear something and you're like, yes. Like, I needed to hear that, because sometimes I struggle. And the one thing that I found in my own journey was that coaches have coaches, and coaches struggle, and they have people to help them. I thought, you know, when you get to the top, like, that's it, you're the coach, because you are the coach. And that is so not true. And they get to a point of that self-love, and they get to the, but they still struggle, right?
You know, I never use the word struggle. Struggle is a word that in some ways, you know, really is a negative. I think people associate struggle with a negative. But it's interesting, because we tend to tell the story to people that gets the greatest audience. And the greatest audience usually comes when we have a lot of drama. So, you know, when we have a moment of misalignment or something's not quite right, and we begin to talk about it, you know, we get this big audience. And as we get this big audience around us, it tends to take on a life of its own. And then the struggle gets bigger and bigger. And we realize, like, we have all these people around us. But in actuality, is this the life that we want to be living? You know, the story that we're telling people, if it isn't feeling good as we're telling it, it probably isn't feeling good as we're living it, no matter how big the audience. So I try to encourage people to take words like struggle and to substitute them with words that, you know, sidestep some of the emotional content, like a challenge, you know, because a challenge sounds so much easier than a struggle. A struggle sounds so hard.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
A challenge sounds like,
absolutely,
okay, I can do it, you know? So sometimes the language that we use, and believe me, you know, society has rewarded us for all this drama and struggle and hard times, but, you know, none of that feels good, and it's so unnecessary. So, you know, how can we tell our story in such a way that, you know, it's inspiring to people? Instead of it seeming like, oh my God, we've just had this awful, you know, drama and trauma. And inspiration is such a wonderful way to help people, because it helps them look at their own situation and see that little opening of light to move forward to. Struggle and drama and trauma, I think in some ways it keeps us stuck. And so much of the self-help world, you know, underlines the struggle, the drama, the trauma. And when you read that, I mean, literally, you feel stuck. There's not much to move forward to. So, anyway, it's just another way to look at something and assimilate it. So it feels a little better.
Nailed it. Once again, you nailed it. I'm rarely speechless, but you, like, absolutely nailed it. So looking back, can you pinpoint exactly where or what exactly was your transformation?
you know, I grew up in this amazing family where my parents were so allowing of us. And so they really allowed all five of us to find our own way. And they didn't really say no. So there was nothing to push against, no resistance. I was really rebellious. You know, I never, and to this day, I'm never impressed by anybody. I'm inspired by people. But, you know, I never look outside of myself for the answer, and I never did as a child. So I was impossible to influence, really impossible. I am still to this day. But I am so inspired by so many things that are going on in the world today. And I think that as we are clear about ourselves, we are so open to accepting others for who they are and where they are. So I don't want to change anybody. I don't want anybody to change so that I can feel better. And this whole process and practice of allowing is just that. How can we stay connected to ourselves as we move about the world clear about who and where we are and allow others to do the same for themselves without judgment? So it's really a lovely way to interact with people when you have no point of view about what someone else is doing. None, because you're so clear about what you're doing. So whatever someone else is doing, you assume that that's something that they have chosen that's right for them. And that feels really good.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree with that. So we're still here, and what do you think was the best part about it all so far in your journey? What do you think the best part of it is?
I think the best part was the contrast, the moments that I had where I was misaligned, the moments where I had to take a step back and said, I am not wanting this, and those rockets of desire that, you know, were like fireworks, and I got so clear and focused about what I did want, and then was able to really move towards that. So contrast is such a wonderful opportunity for us to really have a better understanding of what do we want. And I have had a lot of contrast, and it's been amazing. And I am so thankful for all of that. So thankful.
And I'm just learning about all of that as I go through what I'm trying to build and create, and, you know, and I meet people like you who say these things. I'm like, I don't quite, because I'm kind of an inquisitive person anyways. So some of the things that I'll write down from the show, like I'll go back and I'll research. I'm like, what is that? Oh, cool. And because I like to just, I don't know, I'm like a knowledge sponge. Like, I have to know. Like, I don't watch reality TV or anything. I watch like History Channel, Science Channel, Discovery Channel. Like, I watch, if I do watch TV, which is pretty rare, if I do watch TV, it's like, how do you build a car, or how do you do this, or how things are made? I'm like, that is, I'm fascinated by knowledge and positive stuff and research and all that. So when you said the contrast, I was like, man, like a couple months ago when I started learning about some of this stuff, I'm like, God, I sucked. Like, I was doing everything wrong. You know,
there's no wrong.
I looked at it as a self-assessment tool. That's what I did. So I looked at it as a self-assessment tool. And that's really what I did, you know, and it just opened my eyes to things. I'm like, oh, there's so much more. Oh my gosh. There's so much more. Right.
There is so much more, but you know, where we are in our now, right this moment, you know, it's a really a good place to be. And then from that moment, moving forward to the next moment, because they're all just moments. That's all it is. This, all this time and space, it's just moments, and none of it's a big deal. And we make such a big deal out of all of it. And it's none of it's a big deal. In a moment's notice, you can shift and change your perspective, your ideas, your thoughts, your desire. But we get so hung up on having to do it the right thing. And there is no right thing. Maybe it's right for us in this moment. But in the next moment, we could think something completely different is right for us. And I underline for us, because who would know better for us than us, nobody, which means we have no one business in thinking we know better for another. We do not. Even as parents, and I am a parent, I'm a grandparent. So, you know, how do we trust ourselves, and then how do we allow other people to trust themselves? So it's, life is fun if we can just kind of like take a breath and fly.
Oh, I think we lost Jamie. I think we lost her. We'll get her back right quick. But I love what she was saying. I completely loved what she was saying. It people sometimes will stay in that moment of adversity, or they will stay in that moment and put an address on it and a phone number. I don't know why. Hello.
Hello. I think we got disconnected. I'm sorry. I don't know.
I don't know what happened. I was just saying. I'm fascinated by what you were saying, because people will sometimes put an address or plant their mailbox in that one moment and says, "I'm not leaving this moment," because either a bad breakup or adversity comes and they're like, "I can't move any further," and they just plant their mailbox and their address on that moment. Why do you think people do that?
You know, I don't know, but I think the most important thing is to be able to take responsibility that is something you're choosing in that moment. And to say, I am choosing to be stuck in this moment, and I'm going to allow myself to be stuck, but it's a choice, so that we never feel like we're a victim to any moment that we have created. Because I think that's where it all breaks down. People tend to really position themselves as a victim, when in fact, we are never a victim to anyone or anything. We are in a moment acknowledging we're stuck and choosing to either move forward or not. And all of it's good. But it feels really good to know that we are making the choice. So I think that's the
most important. Oh, I love everything about that.
Part of it. Yeah.
I love everything about what you just said. It's the choice.
It's the choice. And being stuck is fine. It's interesting because as soon as you decide you're going to stay stuck, you know, then you don't want to be stuck anymore. But if you think someone's going to take that away from you, then you really dig in, you know. No one's going to take that away from you. Stay stuck as long as you want. It's not a problem. So.
Right. Oh, my gosh. It was so much. Oh, so much to take away from what you were saying. Like, it is your... Oh, it's your choice. I wrote a book called Decisions. Decisions, the power to overcome self-defeating behaviors. And that's one of the self-defeating behaviors is people, they just make random decisions that don't mean anything, or they don't think that they're good enough, and they stay in that moment. You know, and I said that, you know, every decision, thoughts, feelings, and beliefs drive our reactions and decisions.
Right.
And so how you, and what you were saying, oh my gosh, the self-love and the thought about ourselves. Oh, so crucial, because that is a driver to our reactions to situations and our decisions to situations. And if we don't have that, then what else have we got? So
this is true. This is true. And sometimes it's really important to quiet the mind, because when we really tune in to some of the internal conversations that we're having with ourselves, we would really be just blown away at how we speak to ourselves. I mean, no, we would never speak to other people the way that we're speaking to ourselves.
Oh, my gosh.
And so to isolate that and to say, hey, wait a minute, like, where is this even coming from? Because oftentimes it is something we heard long ago or misheard or misconstrued, and it was not about us, it was not to us, but we have this like vibrational residue that then we have like brought from sometime in our past, and we've just dragged this into our now. And when we begin to just isolate it and sort through it, we realize like, wow, this has nothing to do with me or who I am in this moment. And it's a great process, because it allows people to kind of take a breath and reevaluate and say, hey, you know, I don't really feel this way about myself. So that's where the, you know, that conversation about getting back to self-love, getting back to the connection, the ongoing connection that we have with ourselves. And, you know, the relationship that we have with ourselves is really the basis of every other relationship that we go on to have with another. So if you can create the relationship with yourself that you want to have with others, man, that's like amazing. You will have wonderful relationships, you know, all around. But people tend to go looking for love in all the wrong places, you know.
Nice. Well played. So,
it doesn't work.
Right. So with every good thing, a bad thing usually happens. It's kind of, that's just the way it is. So what do you think is the worst part so far about your journey or even your own transformation in life?
I don't think any of it's worse. I mean, if I had to go back, I wouldn't change one single thing. It got me to where I am in this moment, and it's all fantastic. And, you know, the most wonderful thing that we can do for ourselves, if we are going to look back at our past, is to understand it through the lens of where we are today. Because as it occurred then, it's very different if we could see it through the lens of who and where we are right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know in my own adversity, when I was going, I was like, I can't overcome. Like, I'm so like, how am I going to get through this? Right. And then I look back, you know, 8 years later, and I'm like, I was an idiot. Like, man, I can't believe that was like such a terrible thing that I went through, but come on. Like, I can't believe I put myself, because I did that to me. Nobody else did that to me. I did that to me. I put myself in that situation. You know, I have no one to blame but myself.
Well, hold on a second. But why blame yourself? So what if you could really look back 8 years and say to yourself, you know what? I had these amazing moments of disconnection, and I felt really lost, and I really could not find any self-love within me. And because of that, you know, it was a rocky road. And that's it. End of the story. Fast forward to today. Then that really is a very gentle, healing way of understanding whatever all that was.
Yeah. I didn't look at it like that.
It's just a lovely option, because you weren't an idiot. And, you know, things happen. And so what? But it's all good. It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and that started my transformation, though. And if I wouldn't have gone through that, then I wouldn't be doing what I am today. So
exactly.
It was necessary.
But I feel, and forgive me if I'm overstepping my bounds here, your message today is so powerful without having to look back and, you know, drag all whatever all that was to this moment. Like, you have an amazing story, really based on now, right now. And we tend to feel the need to go back and justify how we got from there to here. But it's not necessary. You're here now. And all that was a wonderful contrast. Like, I celebrate that. Without that contrast, you would be here right now. But the important thing is right now. This is where you are right now, and look what you're doing, and look how you're inspiring people. And that is the coolest part of it all for me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, I appreciate your perspective. Absolutely. I welcome and appreciate your perspective, because there's so much truth in there. Like, I think if I had to go, again, if I had to go back, you know, I do that, though. Like, I'm like, oh, well, this because of this, and that's why this. Really, I mean, and I try to tell people, like, don't bring worry from the past or worry from the future into today. Like, live today, you know? And then I turn around and I'm like, oh, yeah, well, back in the day and then this and then, you know. And yeah, I mean, we do that. We justify, based on our past experiences, we justify why now. And I never really realized why I do that.
Well, sometimes it's just a pattern. Sometimes it's just a habit. So when we catch ourselves, mm-hmm. like I'm laughing all the time. Every time I catch myself, you know, saying something or thinking something, you know, I laugh. And that immediately helps me, like, get myself back into alignment, you know. And it's just a little bit of tweaking here and there, because sometimes we have picked up habits along the way of thinking, or, you know, I call it sloppy thinking. And it is, it's sloppy thinking. But is it serving me in my now? Absolutely not. So you just laugh about it and you move along. So,
right.
Yeah, I laugh a lot, I have to say. I'm laughing all the time.
There's a guy
with myself, you know.
I have a mentor. Oh, man, I would love for you guys to meet. His name is Rock Thomas. And I'm in a mastermind group with him called M1. And he literally says every day, he's like, I want you all to laugh right now for no reason. Like, just start laughing. Because laughing
is
contagious.
You know,
and that's
so
his, like, that's his thing. He's like, I want everybody to laugh right now, just out of the blue. He's like, everybody stop what you're doing. I want you to laugh. Like, what? He's like, and he'll just start laughing in the middle of nowhere. I'm like, what are you laughing at?
But it feels good. And it
does. It feels good.
And it connects us to all people, you know. No matter what mm-hmm. language you speak, laughter is universal. It connects everybody. So that's fantastic.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's a good mentor to have, for sure.
So that's my mentor. So who has been your biggest influencer?
Abraham Hicks. So I don't know if you know the
Abraham
work of
Hicks.
Abraham Hicks, but she is my mentor, my teacher, and I think the greatest influence that I have had throughout all of my you know, searching, and clearly the works of Abraham Hicks has resonated me with the most. So when I began to hear her, I felt like I was coming home, you know. It was like resonated with me in such a way that I thought, oh, my gosh, like we're speaking the same language. And really she talks about all these things, like the purpose of our life is joy and, you know, the things about allowing and just all of these things that really are about just being in this moment, you know, loving ourselves, appreciating ourselves, appreciating other people, you know, the idea of abundance. And, you know, abundance really is a state of mind. It really is, because there are so many people that have so much money and feel like they have nothing. It's so interesting. And then people that have very little in terms of dollars, but they feel so abundant. So, you know, so Abraham Hicks, yeah, the work is pretty
awesome.
Cool. And yeah, it's it's good stuff.
Yeah,
for sure.
I find it pretty interesting called gratitude. It's counting blessings. And when you feel like nothing's going right in your life, or you feel like you don't have anything or whatever, what you do is you count 3 blessings a day. So, and what I do, I take a challenge. I challenge them further, and I say hashtag counting blessings on Facebook, and let's do a 66-day challenge. So when I do a coaching session, you know, with somebody, I'm like, okay, we're going to start it for the next 66 days. This is what we're doing, and it becomes a routine and it becomes a habit. I've had people that are still doing it, and they're like a day 100 and something, and they don't want to stop. They're like, oh my god, this is amazing. You know,
it feels
and,
great.
And it
does. It feels really
feels
great.
Amazing to count your blessings. Yep. Mm-hmm.
The first blessing I would like people to count, though, is themselves. Because you are your own greatest blessing. You deserve all of your own love and affection and appreciation. And when you start there, it's so easy to flow that to others. So, yeah.
I'm gonna steal that.
Number one, I think.
Just so you know.
Yeah, please do.
I'm gonna steal that.
Please do. Yeah. Good.
You're the first blessing.
Good.
I want to know what's great about you.
Yeah.
So
it's true, though.
So on the flip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. On the flip side, who's been your biggest supporter? Or supporters?
You know, I have to say, I don't look outside of myself for that. I really don't.
Okay.
In some ways, it's kind of a downfall, because if you're not looking for people to support you, or people to approve of you, or people to give you advice or opinions, then how do you create relationships? And that's been an ongoing question that I have asked myself over and over again. Like, how do I create openings to interact with other people if I'm not asking them their opinion, if I'm not looking for their approval, if I'm not needing, you know, guidance? And what I have found is that when I'm connected to myself, I feel like I can connect with other people and really enjoy who they are and where they are. So there's like this lovely exchange of ideas and information and encouragement and inspiration. And it's really a nice way to meet people where they are.
Right.
You have no expectations for them to be different to please you. And it's just, I don't know, it's a really nice way to kind of like jive with people. So it's, yeah, and there's a whole world of amazing people out there. You know,
mm-hmm.
people that you would never think that you would connect with because they have different interests and they're, you know, they live completely different lives, and yet you remove all the judgment and expectation and you're just there with someone in a moment. It's pretty cool. It's really a cool way to interact.
Oh,
so
I agree. I love how you say that you focus on the now. You know, and you meet people in the now, and like where they are now, and you're always focusing on the now. You know, and I love how you just keep on referencing back to that. You know, and it's like, forget the past, forget that. Somebody once told me, it's like, I'm chasing my future self. Like, I know who I want to be, and that's what I'm constantly chasing. You know, and I thought about that. I'm like, well, that's a cool concept, I guess. Like, you know who you want to be, and you're constantly chasing that. But what if you always, what if you finally get there? Then what? You know?
Well, the other thing is, are you experiencing each moment? Because, you know, the chase in some ways, you know, means that we're avoiding the moment to get to somewhere else. But to really relax in this moment, with joyful anticipation of the next moment and the next moment, I think that's like ideal. You know, it's just, it's such a great way to live our lives, you know, to be so present. And when you're with people and you're so present, it's very disarming for people. Even if you don't talk to them,
yeah.
I could be in a, you know, sitting in a public place, and just my ability to be so present and just project light and love. You just see people around you take a deep breath, even if nobody talks, you know. It's just like this nice vibrational exchange for people that they can just, like, take a breath and be who and where they are and not be in defensive posture or defensive mode. And so, you know, I think it's a nice way to just be.
Absolutely. 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 100% agree. So let's talk about that for a second, the art of allowing. What exactly does that mean? Are you allowing somebody to love themselves, or what exactly does that mean, that art of allowing?
Okay. So, you know, as we move through the world.
I can feel your excitement right now.
The key to sharing our lives with other people, you know, happens with great success when we practice this concept of allowing. Because allowing means that we remain in our most connected state of being as we interface with other people. So really, we allow ourselves to be where and who we are in this moment, but we allow everyone else to be where they are. So we're not asking anybody to be different so that we can feel better. Nobody. Everyone just gets to be who they are, where they are, and so do we. And that feels really good. So
let me
give you an interesting example. I have children, I have grandchildren, but, you know, with my grandchildren, I never say to them, say hello, say say your name. I never do this like outside prompting. You know, if someone asks them their name and they don't answer, I just say Izzy. You know, that's my oldest granddaughter. She's almost 5. And if someone says to her, you know, how are you or how old are you? And she doesn't say anything, I just answer for her. Because Izzy is learning genuine communication. She is genuinely learning that when she feels like she wants to respond from within, she will. As opposed to looking outside of herself for someone to prompt her. So most parents are prompting their children all day long because they're afraid what other people are going to think of them. Like, oh, my God, my child is going to be rude or not have manners. Or at the end of the day, we are teaching children how to, instead of staying connected to themselves, we are teaching them to be disconnected from themselves so that they can please other people. And we pretty much learn this at a young age. At schools, you know, in public places. But, you know, that does not in any way help children with genuine communication. So, you know, allowing, if we look at children and we just allow them to be where they are and who they are and grow up in such a way where they can, if they feel thankful, they'll say thank you. And if they don't, they won't say anything. But to ask a child to just go through the motions of saying thankful, when they don't even know what they're saying thank you for, I mean, that is the antithesis of allowing. So if I really want to know how someone is, I will ask them, how are you? But when I ask them that question, I will really have eye contact with them, and I will really want to know the answer. And that person will know by my genuine communication with them that I am wanting the answer, as opposed to just saying, how are you? And the other person just, you know, saying whatever they're going to say, but I don't really care. I'm just going through the motions of saying, how are you? Because that's what we do every day, right? That's disingenuous communication that disconnects ourselves from ourselves and from other people. And yet people do it all day long. So we're disconnected from ourselves. Yep. We're disconnected from other people. And we're going about our life in such a way that none of us are allowing. And, you know, we're just prompting one another for a response that isn't even real.
I never tell someone I'm doing good. How are you? Good. Have a good day. I don't tell anybody that they should live a good life. Like, I always, like, I overly use the word awesome. I think it's an amazing word. And that's what I use. Like, I'm doing awesome. Like, I love saying the word. I love everything about the word. And back in the 80s, you watched, like, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. You was like, that's just me. I love the word awesome. So when people are like, how you doing? I'm like, I'm doing awesome. They're like, all right. Because normally you're like, I'm doing good. How are you? I'm doing good. You know, I don't want to live a good life, you know. And I tell everybody, too. How are you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. I'm like, just good, not great, not amazing. I had a pretty good day. I'm like, a good day? And we'll go through this whole banter. And they're like, oh, yeah, I'm doing great. I'm like, cool. You know? But it throws people off because they're so conditioned to say good life.
Exactly. And they don't even know that there's another option or possibility. So you know, even when you say the word awesome, when you say it, you sound really excited. And that's wonderful and inspiring.
So where are you headed now? New adventures, businesses, family? You said you were a grandmother, and that's gonna be exciting, right?
I'm a triple nana. I have 3 amazing grandchildren, which is really fun, and I have a new service. It's called the lovely texting option. It's actually called The Quickie, and it allows people through texting. It's great because it allows people are busy. People have like really busy, wonderful lives. So most of the time it allows people to check back in with themselves through texting with me. And so that's a new service, and that's been really fun. And I'm kind of been working on a second book for a long time, but, you know, that's not really going anywhere at the moment. So I've kind of set it aside. I've allowed myself to, you know, to pick it up when I feel inspired. And so, yeah, but life is beautiful and amazing, and I'm just enjoying it, enjoying every single moment of it. Yeah.
That is so awesome, because we only really remember the things that stand out to us. Like, we remember those amazing people, and we remember those really, really, really bad and hurtful people. We don't remember mediocre people. We remember those amazing memories that at Disney World, and those some moments on the beach, and we remember someone who passed away, and we remember the very, very, very sad moments. We don't remember mediocre everyday moments. I can't remember what I said yesterday, but I remember certain moments of yesterday that stand out, and years from now, you know, I'll still remember amazing moments. You know, I think it's so amazing that you take every moment, and it just speaks to the mindfulness that you have, and that is an amazing gift that you have cultivated.
Yes, that's a great word, cultivated, because we all have that choice to make every moment amazing. It's a choice. It's a choice. How good do you want to feel every moment? And you will learn quickly to reframe any moment of contrast to make it a moment that's amazing. Because for me, I have such a low tolerance for not feeling amazing every single minute. So, you know, I don't have moments that aren't amazing. You know, even if something occurs, I just spin it into something wonderful for my own amusement, because it just feels so much better. So when
True.
We really care about how we feel, we learn to manage our thoughts. And the only two things that we have 100% control over is what we're choosing to think about and how we're choosing to feel about what we're thinking about. And we have no other control about anything else. So I harness that personal power, and I love it. I love it. That means that I can make my life exactly the way I want it to be. And it doesn't mean I'm going to ask one other person to be different. And that's like, that's a superpower. Yeah.
Okay, hold on. I want you to say that we said one more time. My mind was just blown away. Okay. So you said there's in life we can't control, or we can control the
only two things,
thoughts about
a
situation.
The things that we're choosing to think about, we're going to choose what we're going to think about, and we're going to choose how we want to feel about what we're thinking about. Those are two choices.
Holy crap!
But we have no other control.
Oh my God! I'm blown away. Wow.
But it's true.
I mean,
and that's a lot
so
of
so true.
Power.
Oh my gosh, it's so true.
And then
we have
100% control
of our
life.
We
want to
think and feel about that. Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. I'm mind blown right now. Like, it puts everything in perspective when you're going to have thoughts, either unbalanced thoughts or negative thoughts, positive thoughts, whatever you're going to have. You have the power to choose those thoughts. You know, and how you feel about those thoughts. I'm just like, oh. Like,
but you can choose to attach any emotion to any
thought. A day? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but consciously, when you make choices like that all day long, and you are the only chooser, no one can do this for you, you begin to really program yourself to create a life where every moment feels good. And why wouldn't you? Holy crap. I mean, who wouldn't want to feel great every moment? Yeah, and even if, like, everyone else is feeling not so good, you're okay with that. You understand that as a choice. I mean, you want people to jump on this bandwagon, but most people don't really want to. So you just allow them to be in a low vibration, and you go on and you live your high vibrational life. And it becomes a lifestyle, really a lifestyle. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Very, very true. Wow, this was so amazing. I'm like taking notes. I'm like, oh my God, I need to. Can you write fast? I'm like, hold on, let me. Let me really,
but
really
none,
get this.
Like,
let me just sink in.
So much of this is common sense. Like, none of this is like psychobabble or, you know,
sure.
theory. This is just really common sense that ends up resonating with most people when we remind them of really everything they already knew and forgot. And I believe
sure.
all of these
yeah.
concepts, you know, we knew these and we remember them and then we get excited about it and then we step into this life that we're actually wanting to live. And,
yeah,
you know, life gets pretty fun.
Nailed it. Nailed it. So what do you think was the best resource that you found during your journey? What sticks out for you?
You know, the Abraham work totally resonated with me, but constantly
okay.
looking inward, constantly looking inward. And, you know, just allowing myself to ask the question to myself and sitting and allowing myself to receive the answer. Because at the end of the day, I believe that we're just all vessels. And we're downloading information from the universe if we're open to receiving it. Most people don't sit with themselves long enough to ask the question and trust that they will receive the answer. So,
wow.
I encourage people to really try it. I have never, ever heard anyone say to me, I shouldn't have listened to myself. But I hear people all the time say to me, I should have listened to myself. And you
I
think about it, and you're like, yes, because you know it.
Yep.
You don't know how you know
My
it
gut
or
said
why
it.
You know it, but you know it. So,
yep.
And even if
My
you
gut.
Know it and
I
you decide, yeah,
mm-hmm.
even if you know it and you to say to yourself, I know I should do this, and I'm making a conscious decision not to. I'm making a conscious
yes.
decision not to listen to myself. Well, there's power in that for sure. It was a choice.
Mm-hmm.
So, but most of the time, we do know for ourselves. So, you know, trust yourself. You know. It doesn't matter how or why you know. You do know for yourself. So,
right.
yeah. And, we're so
I
worthy of
that.
Our own love.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, this is the point in the show where we do a shameless plug. You can plug anything you want, a friend, a quote, website, Facebook, product, your favorite movie, whatever. This is your time to shine. I mean, you've been shining the whole time, but this is your moment. This is your shameless plug for no other reason but to plug whatever you want. So this is your time. Go.
Okay. You are so worthy of your own love. Absolutely. That is what I want to remind every single person. And I have a wonderful website, www.jamie-lerner.com. And this podcast will be on it as well. And there's tons of cool
wow.
stuff. And if you feel inspired, go and look around and read through it. And there's great resources. And you know what? Lighten up, because none of this is a big deal. You know, we are really here to just have fun and to create a joyful, connected, loving relationship with ourselves and other people. And that's all. And thank you so much for inviting me, because this has been a blast.
Oh, my gosh. I have learned so much from you. Like, oh, my gosh, it's been amazing. So as we close, Life Transformation Radio listeners, if you, oh, my gosh, I've gotten so much out of this. And this has been incredible. If something has resonated with you, like, share, comment, let your friends know about Jamie and what she's doing. Oh, amazing, amazing stuff. And if you have a question for her, and as we wrap up, 657-383-1109 is the call-in number. Let her know how awesome she is. She is delivering some amazing nuggets and just killing it, killing it. So, good transition to this, right? So, as we wrap up and as we close the show, can you, I don't know if you have any left, I mean, I'm sure you got a ton left, deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action.
You know, you are your own greatest resource.
Oh, yes. Yep.
You really are. And there's no one that knows better for you than you. And mind your own business, because other people's business is none of your business.
Mind your own business. Oh, my gosh. Oh,
yeah.
I really think the devil created Facebook. I really do. Because you can just spy on everybody.
I love Facebook. But you know what? Facebook is such a wonderful way to, like, stay
it
in
is.
Touch with people without really having to talk to them. And I really like that.
Sure.
You know, you can really stay connected
yeah,
with
no,
people.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you.
It's a platform. Yeah. But you can
and it has created, it created
things.
That connectedness, because I know there's a lot of people that I don't talk to on a regular basis. I'm like, I wonder what they're doing. And I don't have to pick up the phone and call them, and I can just shoot a message or go on their profile, like, oh, cool, they're this, and then I can respond. And it's like it's an open door to our life. Really, it's
an open door
to our life. And it's I've seen amazing things come from Facebook, like, oh, man, I wanted to go on that trip, and oh, here's my contact information to the person who got me on the trip. Oh, cool, thing. And then they go on the trip, and like, oh, my God. And it's just that connected, like, everybody's connected, and I love that. What I don't like is the negativity that is spewed all over it, you know, and people putting each other down.
But
and
you know what?
And you look
can
at somebody
I just
going,
say something to you? If you're connected to yourself, you don't even see that stuff. That stuff doesn't even vibrationally show up for you. So
I
if
just,
you're,
whoop,
like,
I'll
finding
right
all the negative stuff, then, you know, then just ask yourself, like, am I disconnected right now? And using, like, Facebook as my excuse to be further disconnected, and acknowledge it, and then connect yourself up. Hook yourself back up to feeling good, and you won't see anything negative. It won't be in your vibrational frequency at all. So we have that power. We really do. You know, we're not
no,
a victim
absolutely.
To Facebook. Facebook's fantastic, you know.
If I even feel like there's something negative, if I even feel like there's something negative, I'm out. Like, I just brush it away, and I'm like, nope, not here, nope. And I just, and I really, I'll comment and like and love and share, and, I absolutely love it. And I was so against it for a long time. But once I experienced it, it just goes to show that, I thought that Facebook was just horrible, and, oh, man, it's the ruiner of all relationships, whatever. And I chose to feel and think a certain way, but when I actually experienced this, you know, I want the positivity out of it. And so I twisted it to what I was thinking and feeling and said, you know what, this is how I want to feel about this. And once I focused on
it,
my energy flowed to it. And that's how I use it.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to friend you right now, just so you know. I'm going to friend you on Facebook right now, okay?
I'd love to stay connected. Absolutely, I'd love to stay connected.
Yeah, for sure.
There's a conference I think you'd be amazing to attend and speak at. The organization is called the Number One, One Life Fully Lived. We're having a conference this weekend in Philadelphia, June 3rd and 4th. And then there's another one in Sacramento in October. And it's all about learning how to self-love. And it's all about the holistic approach to this. And it's all about, last year, you would be, oh, my gosh. There's people up there like mindfulness experts like Juliana Ray and self-love experts and truth experts like Rhonda Smith. And the whole premise behind the conference is dreaming, planning, and living your best life and how to do that. And it starts with loving yourself first. And then, and so Tim Rode, the founder, is an amazing man. And for 6 years, he's been putting on these conferences and it is an amazing life-altering conference, and absolutely. I'm going to mention you to Tim, and like you have to invite this person here. Like she has to come here, you know. And so the organization is One Life Fully Lived, and the website is onelifefullylived.org. So
absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing. That's awesome.
I could see you sharing your message with the One Life community, and there's a One Life community on Facebook too. It's literally the One Life Fully Lived community or One Life community or whatever. So there's a huge Facebook following, like 4,000 people that love everything about this community, and you'd be amazing in this community. Oh my gosh!
Thank you so much for sharing. That's awesome. That sounds very exciting. Very inspiring.
I'd love to have you there. So so with that, is there anything else that I mean, we've covered so much stuff and you've dropped so many knowledge bombs. I've got a thing of notes here. I'm so thankful that you came on the show and shared with us the amazing knowledge and what you're doing with self-love and how important it is. I have a better understanding of the art of allowing and how important it is to love ourselves and trust ourselves first, because we really know what's good for us if we listen to ourselves.
So much. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, thank you so much for coming. So Life Transformation Radio listeners, this has been another amazing episode with amazing guests who are impacting so many people. If anything has resonated with you, please go on iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, like, share, comment, get in touch with Jamie. Her website is www.jamielearner.com. Check it out. She's doing amazing things. Go get her book, The Ever-Loving Essence of You, and join us again on another episode. We have amazing guests on here that are impacting so many. So as we leave, remember this: live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the values that you hold dear in your heart. And I call that living your brand. Remember, how do you want to show up? How you show up says a lot about you. And what Jamie says, self-love. Love yourself, trust yourself. So remember to live your brand every single day. And this has been another episode of Life Transformation Radio. Have a good night.